The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Critical hit Punch All Nazis takes place in the early days of World War II and combines high adventure with cosmic horror. All dates, locations, and historical events are thrown out the window in order to create a fun story, so don't put too much thought into historical inaccuracies. All accents are done poorly, but with love, and no disrespect is intended. Last time
on Critical Hit.
Told you boys you shouldn't have got in trouble in my county.
Said you were soldiers on leave, so you're AWOL?
No. We're on actual leave. I'm concerned that the Widmores are in danger.
You are standing outside the sheriff's station and the small town of Barlow, Kentucky is before you. You can see the church across the way. It's late, but it does look like there are lights on in the church. There is a light snow falling, and it is incredibly cold.
Well, if we can see the church across the way, I don't remember last week if I mentioned it to the other guys or not, but I'll definitely point out that luminary symbol there, too.
Yeah, right above the door, as you all look up, you can clearly see, in addition to the religious symbology that's there, you clearly see the luminary symbol right above the door of the church. It's pretty clear, but the thing is, Rodrigo, describe me the luminary symbol, if you would, please.
It is a bald eagle covered with shooting rockets into the sky.
Yeah.
It's a
fanged lizard.
It's like a cross in a circle, right?
Yeah, a circle with a dot and a cross on top. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so it probably could be very easily mistaken for a Christian symbol of some kind.
Yeah. But it's are all the legs of the cross even?
Yeah, it looks like a plus.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. I'm starting to think that this trip is not just going to be a short trip to pay our respects.
Not thinking so. Well, shall we go try to get our stuff back and see how we're greeted?
I don't know. After he set us up like that, I'm not entirely sure that we're not going to be walking back into a hail of gunfire.
I don't think he set us up.
He 100% set us up. That whole thing was a setup. He took us out there. He made sure that we had the alcohol on our breath. And he knew that as soon as that sheriff got involved, that we'd be on the chain gang and we'd be out of their hair. That family, whatever they're protecting, whether it's just him or something bigger, that family is willing to put us, possibly even kill us. We were set up, gentlemen.
I don't necessarily believe so. Again, let's head on up and see what the reactions are to seeing us again, and that'll tell us for sure one way or the other. But I don't think he knew that the feds are going to be around.
He knew. He disappeared exactly at the right moment, and he left us holding the bag.
Yeah, but he's like a person of the hills. They're practically cryptids already. The word cryptid probably didn't exist back then.
All right, ask yourself this then. What was the point of taking us to the still if it wasn't for us to get caught running a still?
To drink some moonshine with the people that came to pay respects to their dead boy.
But they didn't come with us.
Only dad did.
No, the dad did not.
No. Oh, only Clyde?
Yeah.
It was just us and Frederick.
Yeah. Tell him, I still wouldn't put it past him not wanting to share a drink with his old army buddies.
We're not his old army buddies, to hear him tell it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but pick one, Doc. You can't ride both. Either we are, and this is all a setup, or we aren't, and you believe him.
I don't believe him for a second. He set us up. He's trying to get rid of us. I don't know how he's back. I don't know why he's back. But I firmly believe that he's back. And I firmly believe that, whether with malice or just the intention of making sure that whatever's going on in the hills stays in the hills, he fed us to the feds.
Well, lucky for him, we gave the feds indigestion. So let's go up and see about getting our stuff back. Mm-hmm. Chances are it's all just still sitting out in the truck and we don't even have to interact with anybody.
I mean, we still might just let him know just to forget about it still. Yeah.
Well, were we armed?
I have my handgun on me.
I presume I'd have my sidearm as well, but we would have left the larger weapons in the truck, right?
Which is the main reason why we want to go back to the truck. And also so that I don't have to pay like $1,500 by the time we get out of here.
That's a lot.
Probably have to pay for a headlight either which way.
Yep.
The door to the sheriff's office opens and agents Blake and Jones come out and they're wrapping their trench coats around them, and Agent Jones is putting his hat on his head. Oh, gentlemen, it's getting very cold outside. We should probably head back to our place for the night if you're ready.
We were hoping to get a ride up the mountain again so we can get our truck.
Tonight? And he looks at his watch. It's mighty late. Is there a reason to go back this instant?
Yes. It's that all of our weapons are in that truck.
Weapons, you say?
Mm-hmm.
He looks at Blake, and Blake kind of gives a shrug. Well, they are working with the government and in the army of some secret shadow division. So it may be worth going back, although the snow that's been falling, it could be kind of bad. I'm not sure I could drive up that rickety road again.
I can, if you'll allow me.
She looks at you. Have you driven a car before?
Oh, and then some.
Oh, well, well, well. Her face turns a little red. And then she reaches into her pocket and withdraws the keys. Lead the way.
All right.
So you all go back to the truck. And as you're all, so what's the order here, if you would, gentlemen?
So they have a pickup truck, too.
Yeah, that's how you guys came back into town.
Yeah.
Remember you rode.
Yeah, we have like a big tow truck, and they have a pickup truck. Yeah.
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 Last time we were thinking, obviously myself driving and Blake and Arlos in the cab.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So as Valentino and Doc and Agent Blake, or sorry, Agent Jones are getting into the back, Agent Jones goes to like a wooden box up against the front of the truck, and he opens it up and he pulls out a couple of blankets, some scratchy wool blankets, and hands them to you guys. This is going to be a cold ride, so you probably ought to bundle up.
Thanks.
And he kind of pulls his hat down further on his head and wraps the blanket around him and kind of hunkers down into the bed of the truck.
For the first time, I think he's got the right idea. I'm going to follow suit.
Okay.
Pull my hat down.
Blisko, you guys have been awake for a while now. And you need to go up this rickety road, and it's very, very slick because of the new snow that has fallen, and it's incredibly cold. And, of course, this truck is not the newest model, so I'm sure the window wipers work well enough to create a smeary mess on the windshield. You're going to have to do one of your driving, and we can count this as technically off-road since it's kind of a bit crazy.
All right.
But you're gonna have to do a D4 on this because this is gonna be incredibly dangerous going back up the hill this late at night.
Excellent.
In the snow.
All right. Well, it's off road, so that's a D3.
Yep.
And since I'm born to drive, I'm gonna use some momentum.
Okay.
Two of it to reduce it down to a D1.
Okay.
The complication range of the test does increase by the same amount as the difficulty was reduced.
Oh,
so that does bring you down to a, what, a 17 or 16?
Yeah. 17.
20,
19, 18.
Okay. All right.
Right, I'm reducing by 2.
Yep.
Yeah, it seems reasonable.
Hey, 2 successes.
Yay.
I got one of the momentum back.
Yep.
Wait. Why do we feel like we have to do this at 1 o'clock in the morning again?
Well, it's closer to midnight, but
there's a big zappy gun that we do not want to fall into the hands of anybody that's not us.
Yeah. I don't think we want Pa shooting that off in the mountain.
Like,
kind of makes you wonder why we left it behind.
I mean, you didn't really have a choice.
We got arrested.
Yeah, we got arrested.
Put it on your person at all times.
Carlos,
stealable?
Dutch and Blisko, or Dutch and Bug Eater.
Oh, we did.
Mm-hmm.
While you are driving up the hill, do you guys have any conversations with Agent Blake? She's kind of sitting in between you. Blisko, you are probably concentrating on the road, but there are times where the wheels are slipping and you can kind of feel the truck kind of sliding off towards the edge of the road and off into a ravine, but you know, fortunately at the last minute you're able to downshift it and turn into the skid just a little bit to kick the tires back up onto the road. And so it is a little tense for you. If you didn't want to talk, I could understand, but is there any conversation going on inside the cab?
Yeah, so they just kind of willy-nilly go back and forth between Latin and Greek, and it's very obnoxious. Especially when you really are trying to suss out information about why a particular fossil is called that, right?
What?
Talking about dinosaurs. Yeah, and I'm what dinosaurs are called.
Oh, like the spiny dinosaur and the big scary dinosaur and the one with the long neck. Yeah, I've seen those at the Natural History Museum there in New York.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is half the time, it's like you see it in medicine too. Half the time, like a lot of medicine words are Greek, but Latin gets thrown in there, but there's really no reason. So it's just like, it's kind of annoying that Greek and Latin are just sort of willy-nilly interposed, I think probably because they sound good or because it makes you sound smart to use it. Anyway, that's just a personal pet peeve of mine.
She looks at you and then she turns to Blisko. So tell me about yourself.
Mission accomplished.
Raised on a farm in Nebraska.
Oh, Nebraska. I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agent Jones and I had to break up an illegal corn whiskey operation that was going on.
A corn ring.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and then there was a little thing about somebody not paying their taxes on time, so we had to take care of them, but whew, that is a pretty flat country, isn't it?
Yeah. Anything west of the capital, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do for fun out there?
Air shows.
What?
We went watched the air shows.
Oh, airplanes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Those are pretty cool. Have you been up in an airplane?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Like a single engine, or have you been up in a larger plane?
Oh, Blisko is going to proceed to info dump about basically everything that wasn't weird about the flight in France when he got to, you know, pilot a thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ooh, brave man. Very interesting. What's going on in the back of the truck? Are you guys just all hunkered down, trying not to freeze to death, or are you guys having a conversation?
Probably not. I'm guessing that the rushing wind and all is probably make it a little bit hard, and we're all just racing against that.
Okay. People in the cab, if you would roll me an observation plus insight.
D1. Uh-oh.
Nailed it.
Oh,
awesome. Which of us died and is now frozen?
Be what?
Zero successes.
Zero successes. All right. So, Blisko, as you are rounding a corner, a particular corner where, you know, it's one of those that's you're going uphill and then it turns to the left, and then it kind of just drops off in front of you. At that moment, you can kind of see through the snow. You can see down into the valley and you can see the lake and you see some glowing lights down there. And at the same time, so does Agent Blake. And she's like, oh, those lights are back. Do you see them, Blisko?
Yeah.
And she kind of pounds on the back of the window. And is kind of hollering. Those lights are down at the lake again. And Blake kind of rises up, holding onto his hat and looking over the hood of the car as you guys round that bend. And he's like, I see. And he sits down. They say that those are aliens. It's worth investigating, but I guess we can't right now. And he kind of comes back and shouts, because you guys want to go get your truck. Keep going. We'll have to investigate later.
Now that they've been pointed out, can I see them?
Yeah. I mean, if you can draw yourself away from talking about dinosaur bones, then yes.
Oh, absolutely. Once they got into aircraft, Dutch was. Yeah. So this guy actually invented this machine that has like this like spinning rotor, and they want to call it a helicopter. But that's a ridiculous name. It's never going to catch on. Right?
And that's when you see her pointing out the window at the lights down below.
Yep.
These are pretty big lights. These are not like little like headlamp lights. These are relatively large lights that appear to be hovering over the lake.
Okay, so they're
moving slowly over the lake towards the shore.
And they're constant?
Yeah, it's a constant just move and hover. From the water to the shore.
Have we seen anything? That's what you,
go ahead.
Have we seen anything that puts out light like that? Like a lot of the time it's like we see a monster, right? And you might describe the monster as like putting out light or not or whatever. It's like,
yeah,
have we seen anything weird?
Okay, yeah.
So if you have been to Texas or Detroit, Michigan in the recent years, maybe in the last 20 years, maybe, you would know of these things called moon towers. And moon towers are these big towers where they mount lights. And the idea behind a moon tower is that you are supposed to eliminate just the regular street lights. And you erect these giant lights every mile or so. And the illumination is supposed to cast a moonlight across the area to give it the impression of, you know, of safety and you know, other things in the area. Many of those have been torn down. But there are some, and they're relatively bright. They are very bright lights when you see them. And that's kind of what this looks like, but moon towers do not move.
Interesting.
And as you guys round the corner, you're all just staring out at the lights as they glide into the trees and disappear. You can kind of see them sparkling under the, in, under the trees, but hard to really make them out after that. And it's totally silent. It's not like you hear no theremins or anything are going at this.
Okay. Yeah. Just like kind of try to puzzle it for a while. And then when nothing comes out, he'll just be like, okay, I'm going to think about something else, man.
Okay.
Need to check on.
I'm sorry, son. What are you saying?
Oh, I can't. You know, sometimes people can't see what's right in front of their face. We need to check on the aliens. Are they little green men? Are they grays?
Well, that's technically not our assignment right now. We are looking for the moonshiners and the people who are running illegal alcohol in these mountains.
Well, what if they're we have yet to hear back alcohol and pretending to be aliens?
Well, why would they do that? They have fast cars that will get them around much faster than those slow moving lights.
But that's what they want you to think.
Hmm.
That's how they get you.
Well, I want to believe you, but I'm not sure that it makes sense for aliens to be running alcohol illegally.
Very little about the state has made any sense since I've gotten here.
I find that it's often a matter of perspective when you go into different places to try to acclimate with the culture.
I understand that, Agent, and despite my demeanor, it should be noted that I spent many years in Arkham, Massachusetts, so when something seems off to me, I presume that regular folk have been very, very frightened and run away screaming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always got a couple of travel tips that I've kept with me for years.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is to respect the locals, and they seem to think that this is a big joke, so I will take it as somewhat of a big joke. But the other travel tip that I have kept in my back pocket all of these years is to keep an open mind. The world is very mysterious, and there may be things out there that are greater than we imagine. So maybe it is UFOs, but nonetheless, we are not going to be investigating them tonight. Because our journey looks like it's about over. And you find yourselves pulling into the Whitmore property. And sure enough, there's your truck sitting right there.
All right. They probably saw the headlights. Yeah. So
lights on at the house.
Yep. A light comes on. You see a light come on as you're coming up the driveway, or the, call it a driveway if you want, but the mud road that leads up to the house where your other truck is parked. You do see a light come on.
Dutch will like wave his hands in the air, not like crazy, but just like,
get off my land, revenuers. I don't want no trouble tonight. It's too cold to shoot you.
It's just us. It's just us. We're just here to get our truck.
Oh, it's Clyde's friends. Well, come on up. Come on up. Get yourselves warmed up. It's mighty cold to be outside this late at night.
Well, we'll have to pass on your hospitality. Unfortunately, some folks were kind enough to give us a ride, so we got to get them back down the mountain.
Okay. You sure you don't want to come in for just a little nip?
Maybe a quick nip wouldn't hurt.
Well, but we've got company.
Yeah, we can see them on their way.
It's trap.
I think maybe for Doc's sake, we better not stay.
Okay. We could tell them to go like down the road and wait 5 minutes, and if we don't show up.
And at that moment, you see Paul Whitmore's coming out, and he's got a big old blanket wrapped around him, and he's got his boots on and his long underwears on underneath that, and he's coming out into the snow, and it's like, well, I just want to thank you boys for coming out and showing your respect to Theodore and everything. I certainly appreciate it, and certainly Ma and Sissy and Granny and Frederick very much appreciate you coming out and showing your respect, being such kind friends to Theodore. It means a lot to me and to my kin.
Of course. Yeah,
he reaches out a hand and shakes it. Frederick told me you guys got into a bit of trouble, but boys got to understand, when you hear something out in the woods, first of all, no, you didn't. Second of all, you need to be running. Revenuers around here, also agents of the Department of the FBI, you know, Hoover's boys, are also out here looking for moonshiners. So he skedaddled. So he's very sorry that you boys got caught up in all of that.
Oh, it's all right. We sorted it out.
Oh, we did. That's good. Good, 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 good.
Although whoever owns that still should probably leave that alone for, until the heat dies down, you know, in the still.
Oh, but we've got to make some money. Bank's going to be coming back looking for take our land if we don't make some money pretty quick.
Well, just a warning.
All right. He's okay. He kind of looks at you a little weird. Anyway, you boys drive safe down the mountain. It's not safe to be out this late at night on these slick roads.
Yeah, we'll take it easy.
Well, you're welcome back anytime. Anytime now. Take care now. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
He kind of goes back up to the porch and kind of stands there watching you guys.
Yep. Get into the truck.
You see a face peeking out the curtains of the window.
It's Cthulhu.
Like a little two-fingered wave.
It is Granny, and she kind of waves back.
Okay, oh. All our stuff still in the truck?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, it all looks to be in place. The last time that you were out there, Blisco, you were letting Pa look at your guns, and they appear to be in the same place that you left them.
Quick count. Are they loaded?
The shotgun is not loaded.
Not no more.
Well, that's good. We probably shouldn't be carrying around a loaded shotgun anyway.
Are you boys going to just follow us back down the road, or is one of you going to be driving our truck back down, or are you expecting Agent Blake to do that? Now, she's a fine driver, but...
That is an issue that I had not thought about.
Yeah, I don't know. I know much about operating a car.
What attributes for driving?
Coordination and vehicles.
Well, that's a whole 12 for me.
Same here.
So you're better than me.
Well, if you don't feel comfortable, Blake should be fine. I was just checking to make sure you are going to follow us back into town, correct? To our place?
Yep.
Yeah, we'll follow.
All right, very, very well. Then we should probably get going before it gets even darker and colder and more wintry.
Agreed.
So
Blake climbs into the truck and starts backing it down the dirt path onto the main road and starts to drive down the hill, down the mountain.
I'm in ours and follow?
Yeah, Valentino and Doc in the back seat with Carlos in front.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Again, please, if you would, Rob, roll me a... you're driving. Again, same thing, D4s. Can you use that thing more than once in a session, your over-road ability?
Off-road, although yeah. The vehicles themselves might not be quite designed for it, you're adept at handling them in rough terrain. You reduce the difficulty of any vehicle. I just reduce the difficulty of any vehicle terrain test and attempt by one.
Okay. All right. You're at a D3 right now.
Yep. I'll do the same thing as last time. Spend two more momentum to drop it down to a D1. And
all right.
Let's go.
Oh,
God.
Oh, two critical fails.
Oh, boy.
Two critical fails.
Oh, no.
I guess we're going to be investigating that lake the hard way.
You start down the road following Agent Blake's truck, and you can see the headlights clearly. But as you start to round a very narrow corner, again, the truck starts to slip as you start to press the brakes, and the end of the truck slips completely off the road. So, like, the back of the truck is now hanging off the back of the hillside, and it is pretty precarious at the moment.
If cartoons have taught us anything, now we gotta gun it.
Well, the wheels are spinning in the air.
All right, I'm sure Blisco has this under control.
we're gonna have to push the truck a little, or push, yeah.
So what kind of truck is this?
It's a tow truck.
Ah.
Brown.
Oh. That's something we can attach the winch to?
Like, say, another vehicle?
You can't see Blake's car. It's gone.
Trees.
All right, so let us try this. It's been a while since we have done a quote-unquote skills challenge. There are three parts to this skills challenge, and you will need to have a success, two successes, in each one of these categories in order to move to the next. Okay? The three tasks that you have to do are get out of the car and get to the winch on the back of the tow truck without shifting the balance of the tow truck off the edge of the cliff, thus killing all of you or severely injuring all of you.
Right.
So that would be task one. So you guys are going to have to figure that out and figure out what skill you're going to use to employ that. You need two successes for that.
All right.
The second part is attaching the winch or the tow part to something solid enough that is not going to come off as it's trying to turn the truck around and keep you from falling off the edge of the cliff. At the same time, some bodies are going to have to do some athletics checks to help push the truck and keep it from completely sliding off. And then the third one is activating the winch and making sure that it pulls the car back into position. So some technical electronics or machinery kind of skill would be needed there. You only need one success there. Yeah, so some kind of an engineering or something.
You said electronics?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Hmm.
All right. That one seems like
it's the first task is you guys are going to have to get out and make sure that you figure out a way to balance the vehicle so that you're not putting too much weight on one end or the other as somebody else goes out to get the hook.
Depending on what skill it is, I'm looking at a 10 to 11-ish in athletics. Maybe a 10 to 12-ish.
Yeah, so it would probably be a coordination plus athletics, or maybe an agility plus athletics. You'd have to justify
for me.
Yeah. You'd have to justify that. So that would be some agility has to play in part of that. And then somebody else is going to have to do something else to keep the truck from tipping over.
So the something else is the second part of the challenge. It's not
Okay.
So if someone were, say, an academic, someone were a brain face, and someone had a specialty of science, someone could theoretically use that knowledge to scientifically figure out how to counterbalance somebody's weight leaving, right? As one of us, well, first of all, we have to ask the question, which of us is probably the smallest? Would it be Blisco?
I kind of thought it'd be you.
Would it be me? Might be me.
I would probably be looking at agility and athletics or coordination plus athletics to see who has the highest score, and that's the person who's going to crawl out. Although it looks like all of you basically have the same score. Maybe not Rob. It looks like it's either Rodrigo or Matthew in the agility plus athletics area.
Yeah, I'll go get the winch.
Okay.
The doc, you try to coordinate everyone with science to prevent the car from tipping over or whatever.
All right. Carlos, go ahead. You need a D1 on this.
Okay. I'm going to take a momentum.
Okay.
Coordination and athletics.
Sure. You're going to have to balance yourself out there. Sure. Step lightly. Okay. Hey, one success. Very good. Meanwhile, Doc, what are you doing with quote unquote science
to
to counterbalance the weight of Carlos walking out to the end of the bed of the truck to grab the hook?
Because Carlos and I are roughly the same size. What I'm going to do as he goes back, I'm going to climb out onto the running board and kind of go up onto the hood as necessary. So I'm going to science it. So I'm going to counterbalance him. I'm going to balance him with my science.
You would want a little bit more balance, wouldn't you? On your side?
Ooh, well, it depends. It depends where the fulcrum is.
It's true. So I'm going to use science to decide where the fulcrum is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to decide whether it's a fulcrum or a half fulcrum. Because if it's only half full, then we only have to move half as much.
And what are you doing on this?
As he goes back.
No. What are you rolling? What are you rolling?
I was thinking coordination plus academia.
Insight. Probably insight plus academia would be more.
Insight plus academia, that'll work too.
Of science.
Okay. So because it is a Yeller skill, I have.
What is highlighted in yellow?
Science.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was wanting to.
So your success is 2 and your failure is 19.
Okay. Perfect. Probably what is our monument looking like? We have 4.
4.
Moment. Okay. And 1 success.
All right, successfully balance the truck. You are going to have to get Valentino to come out and provide extra weight on your end just to be safe. And you are able, Carlos, to grab that. So you've completed the first task. Ooh. The next task now is to figure out where you're going to attach it to and to attach it without, again, falling off the side of the cliff.
Universe.
So who's going to find the attach point?
Would that be something I could maybe spot looking around with an observation?
Yes, very much so.
Then, yeah, I think I will do that.
Okay, so an observation plus insight.
All right.
Holy crap, you have a 12 in insight?
Yep. Good. I maxed Lord, it out, man. With the last.
All right.
What's our momentum currently?
Three.
I'll take one.
All right.
And, oh, okay.
So one success and one complication. So you are able to see that there is a large boulder that looks very secure, stuck there on the opposite side of the road, that you are able to drag the hook to, and you're able to secure it around. But as you are, because this is just like, you know, braided cable, a really thick braided cable. As you are wrapping it around, one of the braided edges cuts your hand and slices it really, really badly. And you need to take one physical damage for that.
Okay.
Wow.
But you're able to, for you believe that you have secured it to the rock. Okay. And then now the final task is, how are you guys going to work together to get the car back onto the road?
Someone activate the winch and
activate the winch with the
Let's go drive. I do have a specialty in electronics.
Okay.
So
under what? Under academics engineering? Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it would be engineering.
Oh, engineering plus probably coordination. We'll say coordination.
Okay.
And Blisko, you're going to use your driving things. It's definitely off road here, but this is the most dangerous part. So each of you will have to have a D2 success on this one.
We have two momentum.
You have two momentum left.
We're going to take one each.
I mean, you can always give me threat. Don't forget that. So
that's true. I feel like giving you threat on the side of a mountain cliff is.
He's already got eight. Like,
that's true.
Also, now more reasonably, what do we need to do these in a particular order?
No, these can happen at the same time.
Okay. I'm assuming I've got a significantly better chance of generating a more momentum because I'm using my
Your cars. Abilities.
Okay.
So I will use the one momentum.
Okay.
To just add an extra die here.
All right.
Okay.
And then do mine before.
Okay.
And so are you going to use your powers to knock it down to a D1? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is off road still. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just is a D1. So, yeah.
Hey, two successes. So you do get a momentum back. You gun the engine, but your wheels are still spinning in the air because Doc needs to activate the winch and keep it going.
Two successes.
So that is, that is one success and one complication.
Oh, even better.
Not really, because you lost the... if you use that momentum, you lost the momentum. So one success and one complication. So, Doc, you flip the switch that starts the current flowing to get the winch a-going. And, I need to... Somebody roll me a D4, would you please?
A D what?
A D4.
Three.
Three. So Matthew was first, so that's a three. So, all right, Rob, this is on you. So as you are gunning it, the rock, the boulder, was not as secured as you thought it was. And it comes loose. And the truck starts to slide down the side of the cliff with you still in the cab, and Doc, I'm guessing the controls got yanked out of your hand as the truck started to slide. Hanging on the back of the truck is Dutch, because he was swinging the cable over to Valentino. And you guys just start to slide and you start to fall. Fortunately, the boulder, which wasn't secured to the mountain like you thought, is still secured to the tow line. And it slides across the road past Doc and past Valentino and wedges itself into two trees. The sudden jolt causes you, Blisko, to fly forward and hit the steering wheel. And you take one damage.
Ow.
No airbags back then. Dutch, I need you to do an athletics plus coordination. No, athletics plus brawn. It's going to make this a D1 to see if you're able to grab onto something. Okay. As you start to slide backwards, like the pole of the tow truck, you know, that big arm.
Are we out of momentum?
You have one momentum left.
I'll take it.
Okay. Hey, one success. Two successes. Very good. Very good. Yes, you are able to, as the truck starts to slide, you are able to grab hold and you are, you know, kind of yanked out into the air as the truck is hanging, pointing straight down. You are hanging on to the boom arm of the winch, the tow arm, and you hear Blisko groan from the front because of the impact that he takes in the car. Fortunately, the winch is still going, and it is holding you in place at this point. You have not fallen any further than maybe 10 feet.
Good quality winch.
I mean, if it was a good quality winch, it would pull you back up, but or maybe it will. Who knows? You guys
good
now
enough
have
quality
to figure
winch.
Out, you guys now have to figure out how you're going to get out of this situation.
Do we have any traction whatsoever?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, the wheels are up against the edge of the cliff of the hillside. And it's not a straight 90 degree vertical drop. It's probably more like a 60 or 70 degree incline. It's not something that you want to just release the winch and hope that you coast down the side of the cliff.
Oh, well, yeah. Unless no, you do. I mean, you're going to be a attempt to back up.
Okay.
And
all
help
right.
the winch.
Okay.
Which would be.
This is going to be hard. This is going to be like a D4. Rob,
this is still, I'm assuming this is off-road.
This is definitely off-road, yes.
So that makes it a D3.
Okay. You have one momentum.
We do have one momentum. Okay. Yeah. I'll use it for an extra I will use it to reduce it by one.
Okay.
And I will give you a threat for an extra die.
Okay, so let me just before you give me threat. As much as I love threat, and I cannot wait to unleash all of my threat upon you, there is something else that you all have that now would be a fortune. Perfect time for you to use.
Oh, yeah. Fortune.
Okay.
You can automatically set, one die to one.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. So, use the one momentum to reduce this to a D2, and then use a fortune to set my first die to a one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is already a success.
Yep.
And I just have to roll the 1d20 and hope it's not complicated.
You didn't buy a die, right? You just use that momentum to reduce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So as long as you don't roll a complication, then you'll be fine. And again, your complication range because of this is now what? 18, 19, and 20?
It should just be reduced by one.
Okay, so 19 and 20.
Yeah.
Okay. Roll that die.
Two more successes.
Nice. Two more successes. So you guys end up with...
Gain some momentum.
Successes. There you go. You got some momentum back. Very good. Very good, Rob. So describe what happens. Please tell me how you accomplished this great feat since you used your fortune here.
You got basically slam chest first into the wheel, mm-hmm. realize what's going on, and without even looking, immediately slam the vehicle into reverse.
Okay. There's a great grinding of gears.
Yeah. And gun it.
Okay. So you really gun it, and the side of the mountain is wet. It's, you know, parts of it are granite. There is some dirt, so there's a lot of kicking and sliding. The truck kind of swings back and forth as it's trying to find traction, which doesn't sit well with you, Dutch, because you're hanging on for dear life on the back of this thing. So you are also flying about a little bit, but slowly but surely, inch by inch, the truck starts to back its way up the side of the mountain. Thanks to support from the winch. This isn't some magical miracle. The winch is actually helping you. Valentino and Doc, what are you guys doing when this is occurring?
Do we know any good prayers or?
Yeah. Like, do we have like any ropes that we could attach to the bumper and try to help?
You look around, you don't see any ropes. On the ground. How big is the boulder? It is probably, I would say, what am I thinking here? About 4.5-5 feet across. So it's, you know, let's just say it's almost twice as tall. So maybe 8 feet by 3.5 feet.
So freaking enormous and not something that we need to like physically like help hold in place.
I mean, so there's a tree, there's two trees actually, that are right there on the edge of the road that are growing up that have caught the boulder in between them.
Okay.
And you've got at least a 1-ton plus truck hanging off the edge and putting weight on this giant boulder, which is probably also a ton. And there are two trees. So there's very much a good and likely chance that 2 tons of weight on these two trees, if they are not secured into the ground, might give way. The truck is slowly inching up.
Well,
and sure enough,
the trees.
Matthew, roll me a 1d20, just 1d20, no high, no low, just a 1d20.
You're just trying to avoid me going the wrong direction. That's what it is.
18. Yeah. So as you are standing there, sure enough, both of those trees suddenly give a shudder. Inch by inch, the tow arm starts to peek up over the top of the ledge. There is a Carlos hanging on. Are you scared, Carlos?
Yes. But
there's a very scared Carlos hanging on.
When Carlos gets scared like this, he acts angry.
Okay.
And he's like, I swear, if we face snake people and Nazis and robots and flying terrors, if what kills me is a slick patch of ground, I'm going to be so pissed.
Is there a way for us to help Carlos up?
Yes, if one of you holds on to the other's belt and the other reaches out, you can grab a hold of him.
Let's snag us a Carlos.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Who is holding who?
I think.
I'll hold Valentino.
You hold me, and I'll grab
Carlos. Braun plus athletics, Matthew.
Oh, good God.
It's only a D1.
Yeah, but it's not actually. That's not as bad as I thought. Never mind.
I mean, you got a 10. You're at a 10, so you got a 50-50 chance.
Which direction these go?
Okay.
Do we have momentum?
You do have extra momentum.
Additional pro tip.
Yep.
You can look in the previous rolls that have been made by other people, and you should be able to see the dice or the formula that was typed out. So if you look at mine, where it says 3d20 or less than 10, just copy that, the direction of the little
pointy. Got it. Pointy.
Are you going to use the momentum, Matthew?
I would like to use a momentum.
Okay.
I would like to get one success with that momentum.
All right. And you did. Hey, congratulations. You are able to hold on to Valentino as he leans out over the edge and stretches his arm and grabs Carlos's outstretched arm, and you're able to pull all three of you back to safety. Good job, Doc. Mm. I knew you had it in you.
Somebody had to. If not me, who?
The truck continues to climb its way up until two wheels come up over the edge. And that's about where it's going to stop, because right now you are at the boulder and the wheels are over the edge and there is still a Blisko in the cab.
We've reached the winch's maximum or minimum length.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's keep the truck going and pull.
I suppose.
You're all gonna pull on the truck.
Yep. Okay. But first, maybe we wedge some. I think if we wedge something under the boulder, that would actually make it less stable.
Yeah. I think the boulder is fine where it's at. It's the trees that I think are complaining.
We want to wedge something under the. Probably front the of the truck, the front of the wheels, to get grip.
Yeah. Yep, we'll try that.
Yeah, there are some fallen logs that you can probably wedge underneath there. You probably don't want to be in the path of that log, because when Blisko guns it, there's a good chance that the thing could go flying out at a very fast speed and hit you.
Yep.
But yeah, you're able to find a couple of large tree branches that you can kind of shove underneath the wheels and kind of put some weight on. Again, the science part that Doc pointed out about fulcrums and whatnot.
Yeah.
If you can get a long enough one, then you can move the world. But right now you just need to move. You just need to move the truck. So somebody give me an observation plus insight, and we'll see if you can find one that's hopefully long enough to help you wedge that truck up a little bit more to give those tires some more spinny action to hopefully get it back on the road or at least save Blisko.
Yeah, sure. I'll look around.
Okay. Yeah, two successes. Hey, very good. Three successes. Very good. Yeah, sure enough, there are a couple of really long trees that look they have been sheared off the top for some reason. That's really weird. But you can find a fairly long one that the three of you can kind of help wedge underneath the truck. Blisko is yelling at you some directions. What are you yelling at them, Blisko?
I need traction. I need it brought across both the wheels that are... Well, it should be the two front wheels, right? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We need one more. Let's do one more driving test.
All right.
We'll make this one a D3.
So a D2?
Yep.
Unless
you guys don't care about the truck and you just care about Blisko.
No, I kind of care about the truck.
Okay.
There's also a bunch of stuff in the truck that we need to care about. All right. Yeah. Do I use a momentum on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just grab an extra die.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, very good.
Hey, four successes.
Four successes. So you guys are able to get that big part of a tree wedged up underneath the truck, and you're able to use your combined weight and the edge of the boulder to kind of force the truck back up onto the road. You get three wheels on there, and that is enough for Blisko to gun it and get the truck back up onto the road. It moves very, very fast and slams into the tree, into the boulder. So now the bumper of the back of the truck is kind of mangled, but you are now able to free the boulder and from the winch and get back into the car. Or the truck, I should say. And continue on your way.
Hey, let's take it easy down the road.
I was.
Are you okay to do the rest of the drive?
Yeah. I was not a fan of staring down the cliff
when I don't have wings?
No. I think we all did our share of that tonight.
You slowly put it into first gear, Blisko, and drive down the road very, very carefully. You get to the bottom, to where the main road is, and Jones and Blake's truck is there, and they've been kind of waiting for a good 20 minutes. Jones hops out of the cab and comes back. He goes, "Did you guys get lost? I thought you were following us."
I'll gesture at the three people who I had to get out of the vehicle and are probably muddy as hell.
Oh, my. An accident, huh? Is everyone okay?
More or less.
Oh, my goodness. Look at your hand. That could get infected. And he pulls out like a blue handkerchief from his pocket and hands it to you. Here, wrap this around your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, son, look at your head. And let's go. You know, notice that you have a kind of a big bump on your head now.
Yeah, I just need to get some rest.
Okay, well, follow us into town. If you're okay to drive, we should be there in about 10 minutes.
Sure. Sounds good.
And he goes back and gets in the car, and Blake starts to drive. You guys follow. About 10 minutes later, sure enough, you pass through town and you're moving out towards the outskirts, kind of the way that you originally came in when you came into Barlow. And there is a small house there by the side of the road that they just pull over and get out. It is a small kind of white painted house, you know, asphalt shingles, very plain. The lights are off. And you all go inside. It is a small, house. You are in a living room. There's a living room there. It's got some furniture. It's nice. It's not too extravagant, but it's relatively plain. You can tell that there is a kitchen through a way, and then down the hallway, there are a couple of closed doors and probably a bathroom at the very far end of the house. So this place actually has some indoor plumbing. So this is a relatively small house. Jones looks at you and he says, "Well, boys, we got the blankets from the truck, and if you don't mind sleeping on the floor,
sure,
this would be a good place for you here on the living room, if that is okay. I've got my room, and of course, Agent Blake has her room."
Right. Yeah, that's fine.
We've sounds wonderful.
Do you need anything before we go to our rooms?
Yeah, I think we just need sleep.
Ah, very good. Very good. And then as they're heading down the hallway to their rooms, you hear Agent Blake say to Agent Jones, "Jones, I think we should probably debrief before we call it a night." And he's like, "Yes, yes, but we'll need to do it quietly. These boys are tired." "Oh, yes, sure." And they go into Blake's room and close the door.
Well, for everybody's sake, I hope it's not too brief.
Anyways, going to bed.
Going to the floor.
Yes.
Okay. So you guys all roll out. There is a couch there if anybody wants to take the couch, and a chair if anybody wants to sleep sitting up.
We'll let Blisko take the couch.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody going to take the chair?
Is it like a stuffed chair?
Yeah, it's a stuffed chair.
Sure, yeah. Unless okay. Somebody else wants it.
Yeah, there's a radio in this room, too, if anybody needs any music or something to go to sleep to.
After nearly dying.
And there's also a kitchen if you guys are hungry.
Yeah, Dutch also has a flask, so he'll offer everybody a pull.
Mm-hmm.
Blisko is out the second he hits the couch.
Blisko is snoring.
Do you have any of that? Did you save any of the moonshine there, Doc? I could use an antiseptic. No.
I've got antiseptic.
That'll work too.
Yeah, maybe we can clean his wound and do like the wound cleaning and
Sure, go ahead.
Do a roll medicine. A bunch of dice and get some momentum back.
Well, I mean, you guys were started at 8 and you went all the way down to 0 and now you're midpoint. So I would say that this session so far has been fantastic.
Yeah, that's kind of what you want with momentum. My concern a lot of the time with it is that doesn't happen, right? Is like you either just completely crater or are just riding the 8 momentum the whole way.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good.
You have a first aid skill, not your first aid kit.
Coordination plus medicine.
Sure. Hey, 2 successes. You successfully bandage Valentino up. You do have to do a few stitches into his hand. Unfortunately, Valentino, this is also on the same arm that you got burned on. So it's like you're this side of your body is the unlucky side. Whichever side it was that got injured.
The left hand or right side.
I was going to say, I feel like it should be the left hand side, even if that's not what I said before.
Yeah. All right. So your left hand. So now you've got some stitches. You've got some stitches in that hand. It's going to be tender for a while.
Anyways. All right. Thank you, Doc. I'm going to crash now.
I think we all are. Doc falls asleep on an ottoman.
Okay. I mean, it's going to be really uncomfortable. Critical Hit, Punch Hall Nazis is a production of Major Spoilers Entertainment and was produced and edited by me, Steven Schleicher. If you would like to get a behind-the-scenes making of this episode, be sure to check out the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu Edition at our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Each week I discuss my plans for the upcoming game session, and Dr. Brad Will is there to share his reactions and advice on how to be a better game master. I will warn you, though, there are spoilers galore in every installment of the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu Edition. So, if you don't like spoilers and don't want to know what I am planning next, don't listen to these episodes. Though, I will say, if you do listen, you'll be able to see how and where the players throw a wrench into my plans, and you're also going to have greater insight into the world that's being built into this campaign. Finally, we want you to record yourself doing your best on Critical Hit and send it to us at podcast@majorspoilers.com, and your voice will join the growing chorus of fans in upcoming episodes as well. Thank you again for listening this week, and here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2024 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.